So at 7 metres out, Australia needs to try to win the game. Cobain takes the line out. Australia trying to drive ahead. Gregan again. And Larkham. Kefu. Ty Kefu! Did he get it? That's the match winner! That is the match winner! Kefu will never score a more important try. And look at the Wallaby players. That is the great result they wanted. It's a heartbreak for the All Blacks.
Here we are back with another episode of the Running Rugby Podcast. I'm here with my brothers, Toby and Leo, to bring you another week of action and the first week of international tests, especially for us Southern Hemisphere nations of 2022. Things kicked off on Saturday with the newly back since first time since 2019 Pacific Nations Cup and Australia A for the first time in several years as well. They, based out of Fiji, took on Samoa in a doubleheader. So Australia A went down here towards the depth of the match, 26-31, a late try from Samoa securing the win there. That was followed up by the Fijians taking off this star-studded Tongan team with the names of Fekitoa Piatau. Yes, even Israel Folau was there. That didn't much matter to the flying Fijians, though. 36 points to nil. They ran in lots of tries against these boys and really started showing what they're going to bring up next year at the World Cup. We then headed over and had the Japanese and the French, and the Japanese held tight early, but ultimately going down to a French team not featuring the likes of Ntamack or DuPont there, but still several names that we've come to expect from Les Bleus there, 42-23. Then Eden Park, I was there. I was watching the Irish run out against New Zealand. Amazing atmosphere, sold out crowd. But despite an early try, the Irish just could not capitalize on opportunities here. While the New Zealanders, absolutely true to their nature, picked up on every slight chance to run away as 23-point victors, 42-19. And then at Optus Stadium in Perth, the new stronghold of Australian rugby, the Wallabies opened up their account versus England in a bit of a dominant showing, despite red cards to Darcy Swain, finishing the match with only 14 men. A few late tries made the English look like they were in this game, but really it was done and dusted early. 30 points to 28, it ended up after those two late scores. Then we headed over to Loftus-Versfield in South Africa. The South Africans got an early scare versus Wales, and it took the calm, collected head of Damien Willemser to take over the kicking after Elton Yankshies had a few struggles early on, and he kicked a penalty in the 82nd minute to win this by 3 points, 32-29. And then the Argentinians took down a Scotland, not featuring Hogg, not featuring a few of their regular starters there. 26-18 is how it ended up, with a good run out for these Argentinians under their new coach of Cheka there as well. Boys, what was your highlight from the weekend? I assume the Wallabies breaking this drought, this, what, six-year drought now against the English and Eddie Jones's men.
Yeah, that's got to be the highlight. There's so many great stories coming out of that game. So many players stepping up. So much adversity, but the players remaining optimistic and sort of getting through a really rough first half, keeping the scores level, and just the way they played in that second half. They just kept lifting and lifting, and some of the slick set piece stuff was really great to see. They did really put England to the sword, and it was only probably fatigue late in the game when they were so far out in front that most teams who have been through a fair bit in 60-70 minutes start to relax and see the win already chalked up, that they went down to 13 men and with another yellow and sort of let in a couple of tries that were a bit weak, but it was just too far for the England by that point.
So talk me through, we obviously lost Quade Cooper in warm-ups here. It's now come out that he's unlikely to feature in the next two games. Noah gets thrown in to the starting team. We obviously lose Darcy Swain, as you say. We also lose Alatoa to an early HIA as well, with Slipper having to come on in his non-favoured tight head position and play the majority of this game. What were your biggest sort of impressive sort of plays or players in this one? Who do you think stood up? Oh, I didn't even mention, and Tom Banks suffering a pretty bad forearm fracture as well. Again, going to keep him out for the rest of these series and potentially further into the year as well.
Oh, there's so many positive stories for individual players. Like, to start with Quaid being ruled out minutes before kickoff, the 10 jersey getting handed across the dressing room to Noah. Like, there's some worst fear stuff, not just with that, for the Australian side facing England, trying to overcome this eight-game losing streak, the hoodoo of Eddie Jones. So between that, and then we're obviously compromising a bit with Slipper, selected on the bench to play tight head because we were so short on tight heads. And both he and Noah came on and did their job as soon as they were acquired for the entire period they're on the field. So those two were really excellent. I think Caden Neville and Dave Parecki had massive debuts as well. Like, they were both instrumental, involved heavily all through the game. And when Banks went down, I thought Pitara and Kellaway balanced that back three really nicely, and look, go on to talk about who should be 15, but I think we've got a lot of potential there with another selection that's going to be forced on us.
Yeah, I think Samu Karevi as well was one that shouldn't go unnoticed. Some of the go forward ball he brought to the table for the Wallabies was excellent. But yeah, just some of his carries were excellent. And I thought Samu Karevi, with his experience level, you know, having him there when Noah came into the fray was, I think, pretty important. I thought when Quaid went down, we were going to be really up against it. I was worried about this English forward pack and what they were going to bring. I think overall, apart from that last couple of minutes of the game where, you know, things opened up, I thought England were really poor. So I expect quite a big reaction from them. They've had a couple of injuries, I think, as well, and there'll be some changes to their team. But I think, you know, it was Murphy's Law there for the Wallabies for quite a stretch. And we just managed to stick in and really hang tough and then pull out some really good tries in the second half, which I thought was excellent. So, you know, that's going to build a lot of confidence into this group. I think they know that they can win from anywhere, pretty much. They've done this last year and, you know, they've got a lot of resolve in them. So I think Dave Rennie has been excellent in that regard. There's no panic whatsoever coming from him. And I think that's just being brought through into the players, whether they're experienced or not. So I was really happy with the win. You know, didn't see it coming by any stretch, but, you know, I'll take it. And I think it's going to set us up pretty well for Suncorp.
I probably disagree with Toby on saying that England were hopeless or played really poorly. Like, I think in stretches, they were actually quite strong. And I think that's then testament to the Wallabies' defence to keep them out. I saw a bit of a analytical breakdown of their attacking play, a lot of balls out to Farrell with, and I've forgotten his name already, Marcus Smith.
Yeah.
Looping in behind and mm-hmm. so really going a 12-10 and trying to catch up that second line of attack behind the forward pod runners and the options they were creating there. And it was actually quite fluid, like a number of phases one after the other. That system was really flowing nicely. They were executing it well. But the Wallabies' defence just shifted really well. And guys like Len Niketau, guys like Kellaway, just doing a really good job in defence, reading what was coming. And we didn't really force ourselves up on Smith. And once we saw it coming after a few instances, we didn't then decide, okay, we're just going to sprint up and shut this down one man out style. And we just held and adjusted. And I thought the English would probably be surprised that we didn't wear down and eventually start making errors. They would have been looking to just with the pace of play and a little bit of fatigue and distraction to just see us break down and some gaps to develop. And they really didn't. There was a lot of really great last ditch defense, which, you know, but for a couple of tackles, we'd be seeing an English breakout or even a try. Marika's tackle down the sideline, try saver. Like, people don't always pull those off. Not every winger is going to make that tackle like Marika did. I'd say very few would. And the English would have looked a lot better if that stuff had come off. It's just the amount the Wallabies defence lifted to keep them out. I think on reflection, they didn't get much out of it, but they were 90% of the way there. It's just well, Aussies are that little bit better.
That yeah, that tackle by Marika taking down Marchand after the Tom Curry sort of break down the middle was so impressive. It didn't look like he had any chance to get back to him, but so much is Marika's just will and want, and you see it in every part of his game. It's so great to see him back on Australian shore playing as well, just like Simon Karevi, as you said, Tobes was instrumental, I think, as well. Just two great players to have on the field, and they make a difference every time they pull on that gold jersey. You talked about Farrell and Smith. There's been a bit of a chat that these two are not suited to playing together and they don't work as a 10-12 combination. What are your guys' thoughts?
See, I don't know if I believe that, because what I saw in this little package I found yesterday, I thought that showed that they were executing. It had to be the plan. Like there was maybe the plan is not the best strategy for Australia in hindsight, but I think coming in, that could have been really effective against a number of teams, especially a view of the Wallabies from the last couple of years where we have been kind of still building and developing combinations, and those sort of breakdowns in communication would have yielded opportunities for England. So I'm not sure. I think that's maybe just a convenient argument, because it existed as a bit of criticism early that we're trying to force these two tens and the fact that they lost means that didn't work. I think looking at a sort of more granular level, I think those two actually played pretty well. Not to say they didn't have errors here and there, but as a pair, that style of play, I think they distributed the ball really well. England were looking really fast at the ruck and really fast out through the hands for periods there in the first half, and I was really worried.
Yeah, I'd say that it you know, this combination can have a lot of promise. We saw George Ford and Owen Farrell succeed in a similar combination, but I think Marcus Smith offers a lot more creativity. He just needs more time in the saddle and more time actually working together with Farrell. There's some suggestion that because Farrell wasn't named captain for this series, it went to Courtney Laws. There's talk that Eddie Jones might go back to someone like Tuolangi at 12 and actually drop Farrell out of the team going forward when that's an opportunity, you know, when that becomes an opportunity of selection. But I actually think this combination can succeed. Marcus Smith, look, he's probably, you know, he's still a very young player under pressure. I'm not sure he's the player that Farrell is. I think Farrell's been excellent over the last decade, shown that, you know, in defence he's solid. You know, he's a really top player. The fact that he missed the Six Nations might have an impact on his form at the moment, but I would persevere with it. I don't think they have a better option at the moment for those two. And actually across the board, I think the English team, the team they selected, should have had enough to win this game if they played well. I'd like to see what they come up with for the second game, because Tom Curry's gone home with concussion. Yeah. He's injured. So there'll be a couple of changes. But, yeah, I agree with Leo. I think this is a combination for England that can work, at least for the next year or two.
Yeah, it does sort of remind me a little bit, Marcus Smith, and even what Noah Lalesio had to deal with maybe last year or even the year before when he first started against the All Blacks. And you see that the sort of pressure of some of those situations can get to him, especially playing a different style of team to what he's used to playing up in the Northern Hemisphere with the Premiership or Six Nations and people he's a bit more used to. But definitely maybe will take a bit more time for him to step up into that role. As you say, going to lose Tom Curry, it sounds like Sam Underhill will step in and take the 7 jersey for England there. Other changes that they potentially have not been very impressed with, Kokosanga, one of the wingers there, despite sort of his big bulking frame, had a couple of drops and just not making a huge impact in getting in close around the ruck. But Johnny May is still unwell with COVID symptoms, hasn't been playing with the team. It's whether we see live wire Harry Arundel, who made some highlights back up in the Premiership a couple of months ago and did the same a little bit when he came on late. When he came on late in this game, sparking his own try where he ran around a couple of the tired Wallabies defenders and then made another break to set up the final try in this. So it's whether Eddie throws the ball or the starting jersey to him potentially for a second test to just keep playing off that X factor that he brought.
Yeah, Koko Nasonga has had a few setbacks with injuries over the last 2 years. I'm not sure he's 100% fit. He looked a little bit slow off the mark in a lot of these plays. And, yeah, you got to pick a guy that's in form, I think. The rest of the back line, I think, is relatively solid. There's actually not many changes I would make to that English team, I think. They've got a good mix of size, kind of pilfering ability, experience and a lot of speed out, you know, out on the fringes. So Jack Knowles, someone who can explode when he's in the right sort of situation. Freddie Stewart with some of those high balls, I think that'll be a factor in the second game. But yeah, look, I think they were probably a little bit rattled.
Is Henry Slade with this squad?
I don't think he is. I think he's also injured.
Is he also injured? Okay.
So they've had a lot of setbacks from injuries, and there's been a lot of pressure, as we've talked about before, with Eddie Jones actually moving on some of those players that he's relied on in the past. There's still, I think this squad probably has a few of those guys that have actually come back, like Vunipola at the back. Hasn't been selected of late based on some of his form, but Eddie thinks that, you know, this year in the Premiership he's done a lot better and warrants that selection now. I think he was pretty solid on the weekend, but just I'm used to seeing some of those England teams last 5 years where they're kind of making their own luck. They're capitalising on small opportunities like the All Blacks do, scoring off counter-attacking plays, you know, little errors from the Wallabies that pick up the ball and running half the field to score.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've seen that. Whereas I think this Wallabies team is a lot more composed. They don't tend to make errors, silly errors as much. And I think, like Leo said, that the defence is a lot stronger these days. We're not conceding 30, 40 points. We're really sticking in hard and, you know, we're giving ourselves every opportunity to win these games, even with 14 men. So, yeah, England, like I said, I expect a big reaction from them. This is, you know, the series is on the line now. We haven't lost a game at Suncorp since, 2016 or before 2016. I think 10 games in a row we've won there. So, look, if it's not Perth where we've got some winning form, Suncorp's probably the number one in Australia. So I'm confident we can win the series here, but I think it'll be a really tough. It'll be a tough one for the Wallabies. It's not going to be easy, but hopefully we can keep 15 on the park.
So the Wallabies obviously will have to make some changes with those injuries. As I said, Quade not going to be back for the series. Tom Banks definitely out. They've brought Reece Hodge up from Australia A into the squad to help with fullback cover. And the other news is Taniela Tupou is fit and is available for selection this week as well. I haven't seen the final word on whether Alalatoa is progressing through the concussion protocol, but I do believe that with the new HIA laws that he does have to miss about 10 games anyway. So he won't be available for this week, potentially.
It's a 12-day stand down.
Is it 12 days? Is it
so 12 days. So he's got no chance this week. And if he's fit, he has to a couple push of days really out. For... Yeah. And that's, I think that's part of why Curry went. I mean, the fact I didn't say earlier, but it's odd that Curry wasn't referred in the first half soon after his head clash, because I think everyone was aware of it. And he was tested at halftime and couldn't make it back out. But for him, 12 days, he's not allowed to basically do all the training and progression. Like it's kind of it's a giveaway now. There's not really any point. They're probably going to stick with someone who's been able to train all week and is going to play the second game or whatever. So certainly that's unfortunate for Alatoa, especially at a time when our stocks are so low. I imagine if Tupou's fully fit, would they start him with Bell? Pretty young,
I think so.
Pair of props there.
Yeah, they have to. If they start the slipper, then you can't transition him across the scrum and make him play 80. So I think they're forced into starting Angus Bell, unless they bring in someone like Talakai on the bench. But I think that's unlikely.
Yeah,
I think ideally they'd like to start slipper with Tupou, but the fact that they're struggling with their tight head stocks means that slipper is probably going to have to cover the tight head from the bench again, which he did really well on the weekend, obviously.
I was only thinking maybe slipper starts if Tupou's not fully fit. But, I mean, I would much rather see a fully fit Tupou. It's just it's a big call to be going in with two such young props. But certainly Tupou's proven himself as a pretty sort of master scrummager even in some of the tightest contests last year, and Bell's just coming along really well.
Well, that's it. He played really well and didn't seem to fall down to a couple of early scrums. He looked a bit under pressure, but definitely pulled it back quite well. Yeah. So,
and you never know if it's some of the reffing, like those refs aren't familiar with him, and so reputation won't be a burden, hopefully. This weekend, I think it's a French ref, but I forget. If
it, I'd have to check.
Might be another. Yeah, but it's big call. But I mean, it'd be great to see the kind of next gen Bell and Tupou there have a really great game as starters. Like that really cements.
Well, that's their a future. Really different front row than what you'd expect coming a year or two ago with a Bell Porecki Tupou front row. Obviously, Tupou you might think of, but the other two definitely not. Obviously, Darcy's going to be out. He's got his 2-week suspension mitigated first.
Down from six.
And then another one because, I don't know, they felt sorry for the fact he got his hair pulled by a...
No, they said low impact or something, like low force. So it's basically a two-week slap on the wrist for doing something dumb, but had basically no impact. Again, disappointing to not see the English locks cited for clear, more forceful striking to the face earlier, right in front of the ref. Would have liked to see something about that, but that wasn't even referred. So be happy if the English keep their lock pairing this week, because I reckon that guy's a weak link anyway, and he's about to get cut in half.
So I think
he's good.
You think he's good?
I think he's a good player, but he definitely... You know, he has that sort of
grub
reputation, I think.
Absolutely.
He's a bit of a grub, but he's a good player. And, you know, Toje is probably someone that needs to stand up this game, I think, to be honest. I mean, the other option is to put Courtney Laws into the second row with a Toje or something and start another six. But the fact they've lost Curry, I think they'll probably keep Laws at six.
Yeah.
But, yeah, shame Darcy is missing out because I think he's a big part of our maul and our maul defence. But I think, hopefully Matt Phillip can do the job.
Well, have we heard any more about Holloway coming back in? Because if you're talking about maul defence, he's another great proponent of that, at least was in Super Rugby, and I'm sure Rennie would have been keen to get him into this team.
Could be on the bench.
Yeah, so you think we get Caden Neville, Matt Phillip, second row,
and
then stick with the same back row still? Leota did enough at six.
I didn't like Leota, but you know that was I was disappointed with that selection going in. I think Valentini at six and Wilson deserves an opportunity at eight. I don't know what Rennie has against Wilson, but the fact that Samu is a utility back rower coming off the bench, it's hard for Wilson to get a look in. But I expect them to persist with Leota.
I actually think Leota, like he's not that appealing to me, but I think what he brings with his, like, he really accelerates hard onto the ball off a short run, does get into the rucks,
and
is pretty hard worker, but he's not loose. Like I don't know if he used to be loose or just clumsy, but I don't see that from him as much. I think he's maybe dropped a little bit of weight as well. Like he's looking leaner than he used to. So if he's built that athleticism and the stamina, then he's another good, solid ball runner with a decent turn of pace. I think we saw him outrun a few people on line breaks chasing balls for the Rebels, didn't we? He was actually him and Valentini have a turn of speed.
Mm.
Yeah, and so I didn't. I was positively, I suppose, slightly surprised at what I saw of him on the weekend. I think that kind of justified maybe Rennie's thinking. And then Samu's utility off the bench. I think what we needed in that game was an on-baller. A ruckman more than another ball runner. And at the moment, Harry Wilson has gone from being like an explosive ball runner, is now kind of only a ball runner, hasn't really developed anything else. And I think that holds him out.
Yeah, I agree. There's no way I think Samu loses his spot, especially after the good ball running, getting in for that late try as well. Some great late footwork. Similarly, Jake Gordon, as a reserve halfback, I don't think he's going to get displaced. I think he kept good sort of pace when he came on, along with most of the finishers. It'll be interesting to see whether they keep sort of James Connor there. And then, boys, Is Kellaway going to be named at fullback?
He should be.
Yeah, I agree.
He's the best option. Patea's not. I still don't trust Patea.
I don't think
sort of howlers in him.
Name Patea fullback. I think he would name Kellaway, or he would bring Hodge all the way straight back in.
Oh, yeah, Hodge was pretty average for Australia A. Like, yeah. Actually, generally Australia A are pretty terrible.
Fraser was the only. But I thought Hodge for Australia.
Fraser was very good. Hodge didn't look great. So I hope he's not in the 23. There was some suggestion that O'Connor could come back in at 10. But I don't see it. I think Noah really performed well in that game. I think it would be a shame to drop him after that.
Well, there had been murmurings early on that O'Connor would be willing to play some 15 if required from this team.
I think that's fair, like, because he's got that utility value. But, I mean, equally, I'm sure he'd be happy to play 13 if he had to. Like, I think Kellaway from the weekend in the time at 15 showed that he's got, great communication, great positioning. He links into that sort of second line of attack and distributes really well. He's got a really clean pass. Yeah. He puts the ball out in front. He doesn't throw intercepts.
Gave that final pass to Patea for his try.
Yeah. And he's just methodical, surgical even. Like he's just does everything he does, he does really well. And he's not a Damien McKenzie 15 where he's just like in and out and all over the place. He's just there delivering for you every time, picking up his test level form from last year. How you put that on the wing and move Patea to fullback, which is untested against England, who are going to have a big mental chip now to come back hard. Patea becomes a guy that you can target. I don't think they'll look at Kellaway if he gets named at fullback and go, oh, there's someone we can. He's playing a bit out of position. Let's put the pressure on him. I think they'll be like, yeah. He just thrives. Let's look elsewhere. Yeah, look and Patea out wide, serviced by Kellaway, is great because he's going to throw that early pass. It's not like Hodge sometimes just tucks it and carries and he's like just puts his head down and goes boof into the ground. Like really uninspiring stuff. We've seen it before and it's not going to unlock Patea putting him outside Hodge. So if anything, O'Connor can sit on the bench. I think you keep going with Noah. If he gets upset early and they target him, they try and disrupt him, becomes maybe an O'Connor switch, or O'Connor gives you that coverage at fullback as well, off the bench as needed, which who knows, maybe that who gives you room to have a...
Yeah, who else Tom comes Wright. On? Tom Wright?
Tom Wright.
Tom Wright. Outside Tom Wright there. Also gives you utility. Maybe
Hunter Pice. He can play at fullback as well.
Yeah. I think O'Connor has to be there as the backup 10, which either... Tom Wright ends up being the backup outside back, or they go for someone as maybe they throw like a Vunivalu in. They feel really cocky, but or it's Suncorp, spicy. So it's home ground.
Hometown. Oh, I like that.
They do want to get him.
I'm not brave enough to say that's what they'll do. I reckon that's a game. I do three like two that.
He's not cap though, is he? He's not cap.
No, he's never been.
They want to lock him down.
I reckon that's a really nice take. Oh, might see Sully.
I love Tom Wright. I think Tom Wright deserves it, but I. There's a pathway.
Tom Wright's had the form all year and he's excellent.
Yeah.
Whether he's on the wing or at fullback, he can actually even cover, I think, outside center as well.
He used to be
Hodge,
a 10.
You can't select forward. Hodge there. Yeah, a 10 as well. You can't.
Hodge
you can't
is just trash. Hodge all there. These guys are better and they're the future.
Sending
Hodge
the wrong is... message if he comes straight back into that 23 yeah, spot.
Absolutely.
Agreed. So, Toby, you mentioned it before. Obviously, going to Suncorp, the true sort of fortress of Australian rugby, as you said, the last 10 tests, we have managed to beat the Springboks 3 times, France twice, the All Blacks twice, Argentina and Italy and Ireland all once as well there over the last 10 tests. So it's a pretty amazing record. The lowest amount of points we have scored there was 16 points versus Argentina back in 2019. But we have put on 40 and a couple of 30-plus pointy showings as well in the last little while.
Not sure what it is about Queensland, but it's the same with the cricket team, with the Gabba. Like,
yeah, what is
the
it?
Australian cricket team barely ever lose in Queensland up there at the Gabba. So
it's like true.
I hope that continues somehow. They definitely come out and they support well the Queenslanders generally. but there's something magical, I think, about Suncorp. And I've never been able to actually go to a game there, but this would be such a cracker to get out to. You got to think it'll be a sellout. And, yeah, look, let's see. Wallabies, can they put on 30-plus and really make a solid statement to the rest of world rugby that they're coming for that top three?
What is your tip for this game, boys? I've pulled out my trusty TAB New Zealand app, and I can tell you what the margins they've got up are. We'll get into the other games in a second, but what do you got for this?
Wallabies by 4.5.
Interesting. I last week it was 5.5 or something, I think, or 4.5, 5.5, and I just missed it at 6.5. So I reckon after this week, I reckon it's going to be more. And, you know, we played with 14 men, showed great resolve. We're having to change the team up, but it's not disastrous. No worse than the unscheduled change-ups last week. I think they've probably got us at 6.5 this week.
So I don't know whether they're just expecting the big bounce back from England and Eddie Jones, but it's 2.5 points Australia favourite in this one. So
rude.
Very, 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 very close, especially considering that we're back in Suncorp, as we've just mentioned.
Playing with 15, we're clearly not as good with 15 as 14. God, we've pulled some games out with 14 men.
Did you see that? Like, this is what Super Rugby Pacific has done for us. Like, every team knows how to play with 14 men now, much better than the Northern Hemisphere.
It hurt a lot when I realized that we were playing old rules. I was like, that's dumb. But yeah, I mean, we've just figured it out and we do shift. And it's interesting. You think about what does it take to cover that extra player, take out like the specialist roles, but you know, it's getting up and running that little bit harder to close the gap, to slide that little bit further on the field, making your one more tackle than you would have made for the game. Like if you break it up between 14 guys, I think that's the message that Rennie was giving them at halftime too, with his brutality, work ethic and optimism. Like the work ethic is like, it doesn't take that much more from each of you to cover that person. Don't feel like one man down is a huge disadvantage. Yeah. That's right. Stay optimistic. Work that little bit harder, because if everyone's doing their 7% or something in this game of all the work, you have to pick up like 0.5% to pick up that gap.
Yeah, to cover that one.
Totally achievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, that's a really interesting way of framing that message. It's not like we're a man down, we've got to cover for each other. It's like your individual workload is only that much greater. It's only a little bit more. We can all do this. We've prepared for this. Hit and stick and stay optimistic.
So looking around at the other games, Samoa is taking on Tonga in the Pacific Nations Cup. That's starting at midday over in Fiji. And then Fiji playing Australia A. Obviously, there's danger game for Australia A, who might drop two in a row here. Fiji look very, very strong and must be favourites in this competition. And people are already heralding them in terms of an upset team for next year's World Cup. I don't have the TAB odds for that. I'm sorry, guys. But I do have it for the second game of Japan v France coming out of Tokyo. This is after, obviously, a loss of 19 points last week. What do you guys think the margin will be for this week on TAB?
This will be another afternoon game. Like, they played at 3 o'clock last week.
Yeah, so it's
in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
Pretty tough conditions.
That's it.
I reckon the score line will be narrower this week. I reckon it's just the conditions there week after week, it's going to make it harder to keep playing it at the same level. And I'm going to say the French by 12.5.
I mean, probably need to see the lineups, but I think France will be pretty heavily favoured. I'd say 22.5.
They've put it at 19.5, so sticking with that 19-point margin from last week as well. Toby, just closer to there. Now, down in Dunedin, the All Blacks, obviously a few issues for them still. They're getting a few players back from their COVID sojourns from the first test, but now they've lost out with Sam Whitelock and Tupou Vaai, both suffering with injuries, Sam Whitelock with concussion issues. And so they've actually had to bring Patrick Tuipulotu back into the squad, despite not having played any provincial rugby to make him eligible for New Zealand rugby. They had to get a exemption for him because they're really lacking now with in terms of second rowers, that compared with the injury before the series started to Josh Lord. So Scott Barrett potentially needing to make the switch out of six to get back into the row with Brody Retallick.
You'd think they'd do that for sure.
Easy swap. Sam Barrett is absolute quality in the second row.
Sam Barrett.
I'm not too worried. Sorry, Scott Barrett.
Sammy is, Barrett.
He's quality. So I have absolutely no worries with the All Blacks. I mean, is Tuipulotu going to be off the bench or is there someone else there? But
there's no one else, so they pretty much have to have those three.
Again, good player, probably not, you know, match ready particularly, but Scott Barrett, Brody Retallick could probably play. They could probably play most of the game.
He did just play a few minutes. And then who gets the sixth jersey then? They also brought Shannon Frizzell back into the squad because they've had some injuries. They had Dalton Papali'i on the bench last week. Peter Gus or Cooler as well, debutant.
You could move Artie to six and put Peter Gus at eight. You could have Papali'i at six maybe. Where's Jacobson? Is Jacobson fit?
He's there, but he's just been overlooked in terms of his Chiefs counterparts in Sam Kane and Soakula.
Mm. So, I mean, they've got heaps of options.
Soakula, I think, would be, you know, nice to get him in there. You know, I don't know if he'd be able to play more than 60 minutes. But, you know, we saw when he came on the weekend how powerful he is. He's got much try-scoring ability. And he's a fan favourite, so I love watching him. Be glad, you know, really happy for him if he got a start.
Yeah, don't just go to Shannon Frizzell because it's hometown hero down there in Dunedin. I think that's right. And then that gives you then Papali'i off the bench. Obviously, if Kane went down, he'd cover seven. If you want to move Artie to eight, he can cover six. Doesn't let you down too much. He's a pretty savvy utility back rower there.
And margin, boys. Obviously.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mwanga. Did Barrett do enough to keep Mwanga out?
I think you got to stick with the
any excuse team for Ian, up, right? Ian Foster.
Well,
Ian that's Foster what will I, just keep them all in there.
Yeah, that's what I guess this is my point. If poor Mwanga misses a few training sessions and gets demoted to the bench because he's been unwell, and now Bowden's holding the 10 until he's stone dead, cold hands let go of it.
Till they lose the Bledisloe to Australia.
Ooh,
then Richie will come back in.
Just a hot going first. Take that's really sweet. I was looking at the rugby championship schedule, and do you realize that we play Argentina and South Africa first, and then we play All Blacks right at the end?
That never happens.
That never happens, man. That's such a nice like build up. Like nicely into this. Margins. Toby, we're up to you going first. Obviously 23 points last week.
I thought I did say the All Blacks would win well last week, and that's what happened. Ireland started really well, and I got a little bit worried there in the first, say, 10-15 minutes, but the All Blacks are quality, and I think they've probably got another level to go to. But I'd only say the bookies probably got them by 8.5.
Eight and a half feels a bit short. Like they got a little bit lucky with some of these games. Some of these tries on the weekend. Like the scoop up from Sevu Reese was convenient. What would they do this week? You know, they're still going to get those opportunities. Still going to break out. I would think. I don't know. I would think it's going to be more than that. Maybe 15 and a half.
Ooh, Leah gets it on the nose. 15 and a half points. They've got them favoured here. Then we go to South Africa, and Nyimba's made a huge range of changes to the Springboks team. I think there's only two or three of the starting 15 from last week that are managing to maintain that. This seems like it might be the end of Elton Yangshi's here. But
yeah, good.
South Africa, Wales. Can Wales keep it close again, or does South Africa consolidate and take the series here?
Do we understand the logic for all these changes?
I do. I think there's a lot of guys there that are still very, you know, they're high quality and they're trying to mix in some of the youth as well. But you bring in like Andre Pollard, Peter Steff De Toy. You know, there's still some really big names there for South Africa. And I think this team on paper still looks pretty strong. They brought in some of the older heads as well, like Marcel Kutsia at six. I don't know what message it sends to Wales. I think that South Africa, you know, probably
is a disrespect. They were
lucky to win that game. It's disrespectful. I think South Africa are the better team and they've got the better squad. They're showing that, you know, they're really trying to show that they have the depth, and they're looking obviously towards next year in the World Cup. I think they still win this game. Wales probably had their opportunity in the first one, didn't take it. And there were some controversial refereeing decisions there, but I think this team on paper still looks like it has the goods, but I think it'll be still a slim margin.
Yeah, I guess so. To me, it feels like they're a game early throwing some of these guys in who they're trying to develop, but also they've spent so long picking the same 15 there or thereabouts. They've gone like a mass change here. I feel like there's a lot of good players there, but it's a bit risky how the combination's going to be. I think the bookies will have South Africa favoured, but with only a draw before the kick last week, I would think South Africa are only going to be short favourites. So I'll say 3.5.
I think it'll be a little more than that. I'd be probably around the 6.5 mark. I think
11.5, boys. Which
11.5, and they know this team already.
Unproven, yeah. It feels like an unproven team to put in against. I mean, there's still a lot of experience and some caps in that team. There's guys that have played. So,
if you go through Warwick Gallant, Jesse Creel,
played
Andre Pollard, Peter Steff De Toy, Marvin Ori, Etzebeth, Nkane, Thomas De Toy, they're all good players.
Yeah.
And then it's been so long since I've seen these guys play.
It's just a weird sort of scene. It's a weird brand combination to suddenly do that. So, I mean, he's either going to be labelled like, okay, it's great, he's got this massive squad diversity now that he can bring in any of these guys and then play well. But if he loses, God, that's not going
to
be
under like pressure. Yeah. Are a lot of these guys either Bulls or Stormers? I have to admit, I'm completely out of touch now. They're not in Super Rugby.
You got Gallant, what race? Racing 92. You got Bulls winger Jesse Curls in Japan, Cannon Eagles, Esterhazen, Harlequins, Farsi Sharks, Pollard, Leicester.
All over the place.
Yeah,
there's
a few Sharks and really Bulls players.
Yeah, there's quite a few Sharks I saw through, but yeah,
but there's guys in France, there's guys obviously in the what do they call it, United Rugby Championship, but. Yeah.
I mean, if they can make this work,
cohesion.
Yeah, if they can make this work, I mean, this is the model in a world where you basically let the selections lay completely open. You don't try and keep people in your local comp because you think you'll develop better combinations. More home heroes to attend. Like you just let everyone go wherever they can get the most money, and you hope that they go to a good club that's successful and they get experience and they, you know, build a lot of momentum. At that level of the game, you just bring them in and put them in at 15 and away they go. So really interesting to see how this team comes together.
Yeah, amazing. And the final game we'll quickly preview, Argentina, Scotland, another one coming out of South America there. Obviously, the Argentinians looking like they're getting themselves back on track a little bit here, but definitely not a first-class Scotland team that they're coming up against at the moment.
I'll say
8.5
Argentina.
Checker's having that effect, that early kind of coaching effect that he has for the first couple of years of his reign.
18 months of good motivation. And then
I thought Scotland might get the better of them in game one. But
Once I saw the
they
team,
they don't have Finn Russell though.
Yeah, Finn Russell. Yeah. No Finn Russell. No Hogg.
It's a hard place to play as well in Argentina when they kind of the crowd gets behind them. You know, there's a real wave there. So I think, yeah, Pumas by 6.5.
Well, you guys split that at 7.5. Pumas for that one right down the middle there.
I think I needed that one.
Bit of a push there. Boys, it's going to be another excellent weekend of some rugby here. I'm pretty excited and to see if the Southern Hemisphere Nations can close out a few of these series in the second game. As we saw, France was the only Northern Hemisphere team, or non-home team, I guess, since Japan's a Northern Hemisphere team but in everything. But non-home team not to win reasonably convincingly, I guess, in the end. So see if we can tie up a few series for the home teams in the Southern Hemisphere this weekend. Make sure you guys are catching up with us. And we've received a couple of nice messages on our social media, on Instagram at Running Rugby Podcast and Twitter at Running Rugby Pod. So reach out if you have anything else that you wish we discussed. We didn't get a huge amount into the red card and Darcy Swain. I think it's been done to death in the media. But we're more than happy to tell you our thoughts personally if you reach out to us there, and make sure that you are listening and subscribing on wherever you listen to your podcasts as well. Another massive weekend. Let's go the Wallabies. Let's take down Eddie Jones' men for another week in a row. And of course, let's keep on running.
Run.